Hey guys, Cody Grant here along with Ryan Horvat, NBA podcast. We want to talk some hoops with you, some professional hoops. Obviously, I am Cody Grant. You know me from the Chuck and Winkler show as I produce, also host the WWE podcast over on demand on 105.7fmthefan.com. Ryan Horvat, one of our newest producers here at The Fan. How's it going, Ryan?
Pretty good, Cody. How you doing?
Good, good. Ryan, I've known Ryan for a while now. We went to the same school over at Illinois Media School in Lombard, Illinois. So we're both Illinois guys. He is not a Bears fan, though, like me. He is a Packer fan, so you should like him.
And it was funny because when I first signed on here, everybody was like, why do you keep hiring all these guys from Illinois? You know? I was like, hey, actually, I'm a Packers fan.
Yeah, so. I remember a tweet, like one of my first times on air. It was, why do you keep hiring all these fibs? And yeah. I know what fib means.
Right.
It's not an endearing way of describing myself. But, you know, I've fallen in love with the culture here. I became a big Brewers fan and obviously the Bucks. And we'll be talking a lot of Bucks on this podcast.
Yeah, and it's easy to root for the Bucks. See, growing up, it was easy for me to be a Chicago Bulls and a Milwaukee Bucks fan because one of them was irrelevant at the time, just kind of like the Cubs and the Brewers. You know, both were pretty much irrelevant while I was growing up, and then the Cubs obviously blew up a little bit. And then last year was fun because now you get a fun rivalry. But going back to hoops, you know, growing up in the early 90s, everybody was a Bulls fan. It wasn't even if you were just from Chicago. They were like the Beatles of the NBA. Everybody wanted to go see Michael Jordan play. You pretty much only hated the Bulls if you lived in New York, if you lived in Orlando, and your team was relevant at the time. And so now that the Bulls have made some questionable decisions the past few years, I find myself rooting more for the Bucks just because I hate the organization. I'm not a big fan of Garpacks. I was a big fan of the team a few years back when you had a healthy Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. And so that's why when I'm talking Bucks, you know, a lot of people want this team to win 60 games this year and think that they have a shot at competing in the Eastern Conference. And I'm just realistic because I remember those years, even when Derrick Rose was the MVP, it's just tough to get past LeBron James. He's the best player in the East, and he's the best player in the league for a reason.
Yeah, the year the Bulls had Derrick Rose as the MVP, they won 60 games that year. They came into the Eastern Conference Finals. One game won. I think they blew out Miami, and then Miami just came back and won four straight, just like it was nothing, because that's LeBron's the best player.
Exactly. So I find myself just to be a basketball realist. You know, every year, even the Bulls, that last three-peat that they had, every year, you know, there was, is Scottie Pippen going to want out? Because he wanted out of that deal. And every year, you know, teams would, or people would say, the Knicks are on the come up, or, you know, look at the Magic. That's when they had Penny Hardaway and Shaq.
Also the Pacers at that time as well.
And the Pacers, well, that final year, they took them to seven games, remember?
That was the toughest series the Bulls had. They were up 2-1, and then the Reggie Miller push-off, of course, in game four, to hit the three to put them up and win game four, and then they ended up going to game seven.
Yeah, and that was the first time the Bulls had been down in a series. I remember I, like, couldn't sleep at all. It was 3-2. The Bulls came back, like you said, you know, made it 3-3 and won in seven games. That was a really good Pacers team. Jalen Rose, Chris Mullin was on that team, Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson. And that was a really good team. But so, you know, just watching the NBA for the past 20-plus years, I just kind of see how things go. And the thing that scares me, I should say, if we're going to stay on the topic of the Bucks real quick, is just keeping that young team together, because we go back a couple of years and look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. You had Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. Or you think of even the team I mentioned with Penny Hardaway and Shaq. It's just keeping...
It's so hard to win a championship. And crazy thing about that James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant situation, 20 years from now, kids are going to see a picture, NBA fans that are kids are going to see a picture of those three in Oklahoma City Thunder jerseys, and they're going to think that's fake.
Right.
Because they had such a short time together, and you're talking now three of the probably top seven or eight players in the entire NBA on the same team, and they went to the finals, of course, all young, and that's when James Harden was coming off the bench, and they couldn't beat LeBron.
And so that's the argument that I always have, you know, with people is, well, why can't this team, you know, go to the NBA Finals, you know, and they bring up that Oklahoma City Thunder team, and it's like, well, look at those guys, though. Each of them average nearly 30 points per game. You know, they could go off for 50, 60 whenever they want, and they couldn't keep those guys together. You know, you can't really talk about the small market, because that's the one thing that I always talk about with the NBA is players are so marketable now. It doesn't really matter where you play. Look at Anthony Davis in New Orleans, and, you know, you don't really have to go to New York or Los Angeles anymore, because the NBA does a better job marketing their players than any other league, in my opinion.
Well, there's so much facial recognition, too, as well
as
the NBA. You're not wearing a helmet. You're not wearing a mask or even a hat in baseball. And NBA does a perfectly the way they mark their guys. It's a star-driven league, and that's how they run through the NBA. It's not more or less teams. It's more or less individuals.
Individuals, exactly.
And I mean, Giannis is an individual we have here in Milwaukee that is extremely marketable.
Exactly. So if you go to McDonald's today and you run into Giannis, you run into James Harden, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, you're going to know who they are. If you run into HaHa Clinton Dix or Mike Daniels, granted, if you're the biggest Packer fan in the world, you probably won't even recognize them.
Yeah, I think the casual fan would recognize more NBA players than they do MLB or NFL.
Exactly.
Even though NFL is still the most popular sport in America, NBA is trending upwards.
Yeah, and baseball is probably the worst, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I would think so too. But like you and me, I love that we're doing this podcast. I love that we're starting this. We don't have a name for this yet, but it is myself, Cody Grant, and Ryan Horvat. We don't have a name yet, but NBA, all NBA talk, and so excited because I'm a huge NBA fan. I've been watching it for, I'm 27 now, so I've been watching it for about 21 years now. And in my opinion, I don't think basketball's been better than it is right now.
I agree. I mean, you know, guys, every year, the argument is, well, you know, they don't play defense like they did in the 90s. Go back and watch some of those 90s games. It's easy to say that when you're going back and you're watching the Bulls and the Knicks, or you're watching the Pacers and the Knicks, but go back and watch like the 97 Denver Nuggets take on the Toronto Raptors and then come back to me.
You can't just go back and watch that 1992 Knicks versus Bulls series and you see all these flagrant fouls happening. Was the game more physical back then? Yeah, the rules were different, but today's game is much more skill-based, and players can shoot, players can hit from the outside. We're changing the game. It's more of a small ball aspect, but I think it's the most exciting basketball I've ever seen.
And a great example is there's really not a bad team in the NBA. Look at the Orlando Magic. I mean, record-wise, they're terrible, but every night they play teams tough. I mean, I know you covered the last week, the Bucks Nuggets game. The Denver Nuggets are probably my favorite team to watch in the NBA. Do they play defense? Absolutely not. But every night they score 120 to 126 points.
That Nikola Jokic is unbelievable.
He's
walking triple double.
Exactly. And so that's the thing. You know, you could get the league pass and you could watch literally any game on the slate and you'll be entertained. Because team has skilled players.
That's another thing about the NBA is they're not just a basketball program. They're an entertainment program.
Right.
I mean, where else do you get the drama in the offseason, the whole breakup of Kyrie Irving and LeBron James,
right.
And then you have the whole Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, well, we don't even talk anymore. And then, of course, at the All-Star game, as we'll get to a little bit later, we saw them finally look like they are back together now, and they're like, they're friendly, they were talking, joking around, but you don't see that in any other sport, because you don't see as many trades or free agency as you do in perhaps baseball or NFL. You do see free agency in baseball and trades in baseball, but not to the extent where, oh, we're breaking up the team and these guys are moving away and we don't like those guys anymore. It's like NBA, you have so much more drama.
It's funny because we were talking about professional wrestling off the air.
This is professional wrestling.
NBA has become like the male, or I mean, whoever watches hoops, it's become a soap opera though, because there's a storyline every night. I find it easier now to watch with my wife because, you know, we'll watch the other night, you know, the Detroit Pistons are taking on the Clippers. It's the only game on ESPN. And I could talk her into watching that because, hey, Blake Griffin, you know, he was going to be a Clipper for life. They traded him, and now he's playing against his former team. Boom, a storyline. She's interested. So that's the best part about
the
NBA.
There are so many storylines, too.
There's so many storylines.
Shameless plug here. I do host the WWE podcast with Bart Winkler. You can hear another one of those this week, Elimination Chamber preview. But the best thing about wrestling that people don't understand is the storylines.
Right.
It's not the inaction. I mean, they don't pretend to be fighters. It's just, I mean, they do pretend to be fighters, but they don't pretend to be real. It's just the storylines. And that's one thing that NBA has, I believe, over any other league, is just the storylines, and makes it fun to watch. It's like watching a weekly TV show,
yeah.
You know, watching Game of Thrones or watching Walking Dead. It's like, what's going to happen next? And that's something you get with the NBA. Like the last thing I saw that would just made me crack up so much was Kyrie Irving and the Celtics when they play the Cavs after the Cavs made the trade. Cavs, of course, took them down, but Kyrie had a nice move on LeBron and put it on Instagram, and Isaiah Thomas liked it. And
yeah.
I just like, it's like stuff like that. Like, you don't see that in other sports,
exactly.
You
know,
like you do with the NBA.
Exactly. And you're guaranteed every season you're going to have more storylines because guys aren't going to get along. Guys are going to want to get traded. I've never seen anything quite like the NBA trade deadline. All day, it's really quiet, quiet, quiet. You know that the Cavs are going to make some moves, but you don't really know what they're going to do. You know, are they going to try to cut some cap space and try to hold on to LeBron, give him a max contract? Or, you know, they're going to have to bring in some talent. But who are you really going to bring in? You know, is it going to be DeAndre Jordan? And they just completely flip the whole team. I've never quite seen anything like that. They
just
got
dropping Woj bombs all over.
All over the place.
The Isaiah Thomas thing happened, and then it trickled down from there. Now you bring in Jordan Clarkson, you bring in George Hill, you bring in Ronnie Hood from Utah. I mean, these aren't great players, but these are young, athletic, talented guys that can shoot and defend.
And they brought in the perfect team for LeBron, because in the NBA, that's what the NBA is right now, is you need a guy to penetrate, get into the lane, and then you need shooters. The Spurs kind of invented this system with Tony Parker and Ginobili and Danny Green. Every year, though, they would have guys out on the perimeter that can knock down shots. So I always laugh when people talk about getting a big man. You do need a rim protector still, but the game has changed. You need a guy that could penetrate, and you need shooters. Every team needs guys that could shoot three.
We brought him up a little bit ago, Nikola Jokic. Look at him. Yeah. He's the best player on the Nuggets. They're a 7 seed. And he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. He's a transcendent talent.
Exactly.
I mean, this guy's a walking triple-double, but are they going anywhere with Jokic if they don't have the guys on the wing surrounding him? And people also say it's a point guard-driven league. I kind of disagree with that. It's a wing-driven league.
Yeah.
Look at all the champions of years past, especially in this era. It's wings. Yeah, you had Steph Curry with Golden State. He won one championship without Kevin Durant. He couldn't beat LeBron James by himself, right, with just Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. He needed Kevin Durant. LeBron James, obviously the best wing in the NBA. You look back even a little bit further, the teams of Boston with Paul Pierce, you know, Kobe with the Lakers. Yeah. It's a wing-driven league.
It is, and you know, every year the point guards do get better, but we've seen it before. You need a dominant 6'7", 6'8", player that could hit from outside and get into the lane and get buckets, because if you are built around a point guard, we'll go back to that Derrick Rose Bulls team, then all the opposing team has to do is put their best defender, wing defender,
and they put LeBron
on
Rose, and Rose couldn't do anything about it.
So that's why the Warriors needed Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
I mean, granted, you won 73 games the year before, but you need a guy that could get you those fourth quarter points, and you could shut down Steph Curry. Is it tough? Heck yeah.
Yeah,
but you
absolutely
could find ways to do it. There's nights where Klay Thompson, because he's such a good defender and gives so much on the defensive side of the ball, there's nights he doesn't show up on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Draymond could go for 20 and the next night give you 3 points.
Yeah, Draymond can give you 3 points and impact the game more than anybody as well with his rebound, his defense, and his nastiness.
Exactly.
So he's a bitch on the court, and that's something that you also need on a championship team.
Let's say you're the general manager of the Bucks and you're putting together a team next year, and you could pair Giannis with any other player in the NBA. And let's throw, you can't have LeBron and you can't have Kevin Durant. Who would you...
Well, I kind of want LeBron.
Right, right. But you can't have him. You
okay.
can't have him. Because that's obvious. Everybody
wants
LeBron. And people that say, we don't need him, you guys are idiots.
Oh, man. Those... No, like...
Everybody needs LeBron.
Anybody that says, we don't want LeBron... Come on.
You do.
Come on, man. Like, you don't want the best player in the world.
You
don't
want
perhaps the best player of all time.
Right.
Yeah, it's... But go ahead and
so you could have any player. Who would it be?
Who would it be? Any player to pair with Giannis?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say a healthy Jabari Parker because I like the guy so much, but any player in the NBA I would want to pair with Giannis right now besides for Kevin Durant and LeBron James, I would say James Harden.
James Harden?
I would say James Harden. I mean, I think you need a guy that is terrific offensively that can put up the same amount of points as a Giannis can, you know, 27 to 30 point range, and someone that can score. I mean, that's what you have the duo with Golden State. You have Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Not to mention, Harden can hit from downtown, something that Giannis hasn't added to his game yet, but that will come in time through offseason. He will add that three-point shot. You've seen him already step up and have some confidence. Who would you take?
DeMarcus Cousins, healthy and...
Head in the game?
With the right head coach.
Yes.
I would want DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis, a stretch four, because the league gets...
Cousins, when he came into the league, he didn't know how to hit a three.
No, which is
now
crazy.
Now he can.
The year before, he attempted 22 three-pointers or something like that. And then the year after that, all of a sudden, he's knocking down like 2 to 3 a game. It just got ridiculous. But what I like about him is he'll step out, knock down threes, but he also will still give you 12, 13 rebounds. And when he wants to show up, I don't think there's a better stretch four in the league than DeMarcus Cousins.
I don't think there's a more dominant big man in the league when DeMarcus Cousins wants to show up.
Exactly.
I mean, when he wants to drop 50, he'll drop 50.
But, and that's where, you know, the NBA, I always laugh about, like, the head coach thing, because if you have LeBron, it doesn't really matter who's coaching the team. But if you have a younger team like the Bucks, then it does matter who the head coach is.
I had conversations with some other people about this before. Does it really matter if you're who the head coach is?
Right.
Like, how much of an impact does Steve Kerr have on the Warriors? How much of an impact does Tyronn Lue have on the Cavs? Now, I think guys like Brett Brown in Philly have a tremendous impact. I think guys like Greg Popovich in San Antonio have a tremendous impact. But some of these great teams that have these amazing players, it's more about controlling the egos than
exactly
actually coaching, because they know how to play. You don't get to the NBA, you don't understand concepts like give and go, pick and roll, how you space the floor. All these guys know how to do that. But I think the big thing with head coaches in the NBA is is controlling the egos of players. And like that's why you look at Tyronn Lue and Steve Kerr. I mean, what else do they really do as far as the X's and O's thing?
I go all the way back to the 90s and I look at Phil Jackson being considered the greatest coach of all time, but that's all he did was he managed egos. I mean, yeah, you had the triangle.
But that
office,
wasn't but that even was that was yeah, yeah, that was Tex Winter. That wasn't even Phil Jackson.
But what he did was when you pick up a guy like Rodman, everybody had different rules on that team. Rodman was allowed to go to Vegas the night before the game, you know, fly in, get
Jordan
there 20
smoking
minutes before
cigars tipped. And drinking alcohol He'd 2 be, in the morning before the game.
Jordan would be on the golf course playing 18 holes in the morning, you know, before a 7:30 p.m. tip off. But everybody, that's what he did, is he managed personalities. And I think that's kind of what Steve Kerr does in Golden State as well. I mean, we saw it a couple weeks back, or last week, I should say, when he had players running the huddle. So do you, you know, we saw Luke Walton.
Respectful to Phoenix.
Luke Walton filled in last year and did a great job.
I don't think so.
I feel like you or I could probably coach the Warriors and we would win 70 games, but then, you know, if something does go wrong or guys
not
getting
if Durant goes down, then we're in trouble maybe. But if Steph goes down, maybe we're in a little trouble.
Or
but
if Clay gets mad because he's only getting 10 shots per game and we have to somehow manage, you know, the personalities on that team, then we might be in trouble.
No, that's a good question. It's like, you know, I think Steve Kerr is a good coach, but we haven't seen him coach a bad team. We don't know what he is with other players.
Right.
But I recall a time last year, Luke Walton coached, that was last year,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, last year,
when he had he won Coach of the Month, but he had no wins because
right.
He wasn't even the interim coach. He was just, while Steve Kerr is out, he was filling in.
Yeah.
And when Steve Kerr came back, I don't remember what game it was. I don't remember who they were playing or when it was, but it was sometime when Kerr came back, his first or second game, and he's sitting on the bench with Luke Walton, and you know, someone comes down, it's either Steph or Clay, hit a three.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant comes down, hits a three, whatever. And Kerr just turns to Luke Walton and says, man, some really good coaching.
Exactly.
And then like 2 plays later, another three, like, man, that's some really good coaching.
And
it's like
the thing that Steve Kerr did is kind of like what Joe Maddon did with the Cubs, is he's made it fun to play for that organization, though. His guys want to go to Golden State and they want to play basketball. They're like, Durant wanted to go there because it's such an unselfish team.
It is. Say what you want about Golden State. Say they're the villains because they win. And for some reason, our culture hates winners because once you win twice, we want someone different.
Right.
But Golden State, man, they had such a fun brand of basketball. Whenever they're on national TV, I am tuning in because they play basketball the right way. Yeah, you have all-stars. You have superstars on that team, but they play as a team.
Exactly, and they share the basketball. Klay Thompson, if Klay Thompson wanted to come to Milwaukee, he wanted to go to Chicago, he'd average 25 points per game and probably be defensive player.
Draymond Green's a guy that can average 20 points a game.
Thing.
He can do that.
But as
the fourth offensive option on that team,
yeah.
He understands his role. I'm not here to score points.
Right.
I'm here to grab rebounds. I'm here to play defense. I'm here to get under the skin of their opposing players.
Exactly. So I'm always amazed when I look at the box score and you see like Klay Thompson, 2 of 7, you know, 6 points, 2 steals, and you're like, man, that's one of the best players in the league, and you don't see that, or you know, around the association, because guys want to put up numbers, guys want to get paid. I love Russell Westbrook, but do you think that he's going to take 6 shots in a game to make sure
absolutely
Durant's
not
getting his touches? So that's
absolutely
why Durant,
not
as much as he liked probably playing in Oklahoma City. I mean, look at the year before that. They went to Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals and lost to the Warriors, so I understood why people were mad that he jumped ship, but he's a hooper. He likes to play basketball, and when you're playing in a system like that, you're happy because everybody's getting their touches, and that's how you win games. And so that's what I think Steve Kerr kind of brought to the table for the Warriors, is he makes it fun to go to work. Whereas, you know, is it fun to go to work playing for a guy like Tom Thibodeau when you're losing? I don't know yet.
Basketball back this week, All-Star game. We'll get to one more point I wanted to make on when you said Kevin Durant likes to hoop. He wants to go to Golden State after leaving OKC. You know, people give all these players shit for leaving their teams
right.
to go somewhere else to win. But then on the flip side, you have people say, oh, they only care about making money. They don't care about winning championships. So the guy cared about winning championships, he would go here. Well, that's exactly what Kevin Durant did. Now he's a bad guy. On the flip side of that, Kyrie Irving over in Cleveland, he wants to be the guy. He doesn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. He forces his way out to go to Boston. Is there something commendable about that? Because I think there is, and I like both sides. I like Kevin Durant going to win titles playing with the best players in the world. I like Kyrie Irving wanting to be the man by himself, but it's like these guys can't win because you want them to do one thing, they go do that, and then you turn on them and say, well, that's not right.
And it's almost a double standard as well, because let's say Kevin Durant never wins a championship, stays in Oklahoma City, has some great years, some great individual numbers, but never wins a title.
Look
at Charles Barkley,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody wants to argue anything, they say, you know, he never won a ring. So,
but and
there's so much pressure now.
The funny thing is, too, it's if Durant did do that, stayed in OKC, and him and Westbrook could just never figure it out. He never won a ring. People would say at the end of his career, yeah, he's a great player, but he never got the ring. And right. Now on the flip side, he goes to Golden State. People are going to say, yeah, he's a great player, but he had to go to Golden State to get that ring.
My only problem with Durant leaving was the year before, they have a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. And not only did they blow it, but Game 6, when they could have clinched, I think Durant went like 7 of 28 from the field. And then he leaves Westbrook. So I was a little upset just because I thought, honestly, Oklahoma City was the better team. I mean, the Warriors obviously won 73 games, but I just thought that they were beatable in the playoffs before they had Durant, obviously. You know, they didn't really have a dominant rim protector, and there was nights when Steph Curry would be off. And then, you know, who's your second option? Obviously, Klay Thompson, but Draymond's not really a scorer. He can be. So I thought that that team was beatable. With Durant going to Golden State, that team's
beatable. Unbeatable.
They're winning again this year, and they're most likely going to win again next year.
I mean, this team may be the greatest team of all time.
I agree.
It's hard to argue. You're talking about Kevin Durant's MVP. Steph Curry's an MVP. Klay Thompson, 20 points per game, is your third option.
It's crazy.
Draymond Green's your fourth option.
Right.
And they got guys on the bench. They got Sean Livingston. They got Andre Iguodala. They got guys that can come in. And the way the system is run, they're so unselfish that those guys can contribute on a night-in and night-out basis.
And I love what Kyrie did, because Kyrie won a title, and then he lost in the final series. And he said, you know, I want to be the guy, kind of like you said. But he also, he's a guy that loves playing hoops. You know, he's on the playgrounds. You know, he likes to play basketball.
Uncle Drew coming out in theaters.
Exactly. Are you going to go see that?
Probably. I saw the trailer, I laughed my
same
ass
here.
Off.
I was like,
I mean,
they're making a movie?
Shaq, Reggie Miller is in this movie.
Nate
Robinson's in the movie. Where's he been? Oh, my God. But I'm going to go out and see that movie, most likely. I love basketball. So.
And so not only does he love basketball and he wants to be the guy, but he's also going and he's going to play for Brad Stevens, who's one of the great basketball minds.
Now, that's a coach you can look at and see that's a hell of a coach.
So
you know how good of a coach he is.
I liked the decision. And I mean, especially I liked the decision because I love hoops and I like watching Eastern Conference basketball and just knowing that LeBron's a lock for the finals, which he most likely is once again now after the trade deadline this year. But I like the fact that there is some competition. And I do like Kyrie. And imagine when Gordon Hayward is fully healthy. Because people saying that he might be able to come back for the playoffs, I don't think that that's going to be a possibility. That was a gruesome injury, and even if he does, I don't know what he's gonna look like.
That'd be great if he could. I don't know if I can possibly see that happening. But playoffs not far away. We're getting closer and closer to the playoffs. All-Star break has come and gone. That All-Star game, let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. We mentioned at the start that we would get to that, so let's dive into it. East versus West, no longer a thing. It's Team LeBron versus Team Steph. Really quick, before we dissect the game itself, I absolutely hated the fact they didn't televise a draft.
That's the only complaint that I have.
Only complaint I have.
I don't know if it was Chris Webber, I forgot who said it. I like the idea of right before the game, you get all the players, you know, center court, and you draft your teams right there. That way you don't have any time to practice or work
together.
That was
a cool idea.
I like that idea.
Was that Chris Webber?
I think that was Chris Webber.
Yeah, that's just like a total pickup basketball. You have all the players lined up. Nobody knows who's going to take who. That would be great.
And
that,
who cares
that is the
if
way to do it.
Somebody's feelings get hurt. Like, it was funny when they messed with Westbrook, telling him he was the last player that was picked. But
alphabetical order.
I mean, you're millionaires and you're an all-star. You're one of the top players in the league. And I think that that's the way that they should do it. But I love the new concept of guys picking their teams, of having the captains, because East versus West, it was old and tired and boring.
Yeah, see, I like the East versus West. I have no problem with the new system. I don't care how they do it, because the All-Star game is just about showcasing the stars.
Exactly.
And as long as they can still continue to showcase the stars and they do play a little bit of defense late in the game, I'm happy. And that game had me hooked from the tip-off all the way to the end. It was fun. It was exciting. I mean, in the second quarter, at the end of the half, Team LeBron trapped Team Steph. They force a couple turnovers. When do you ever see that in an All-Star game? And this whole glorification of, I want to see these players play 100% in an All-Star game, that's not going to happen. It's an exhibition game. So any little thing we get from it, I think is exciting. I mean, I love watching the All-Star game. If you don't like it, I understand. I get it. It's not real basketball, you might say.
Yeah.
But, God, I think the NBA puts on the best weekend/game
oh, absolutely.
Out of all the major sports, and I had a great time watching it.
I agree. I agree completely. My favorite part was just the concept of LeBron versus Steph, because I like this rivalry, too, where they might be friendly on the court, but they don't like each other at all.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
And
I don't think they do.
You could tell because that was getting heated. Steph Curry was arguing calls. I saw somebody tweeted out, I forgot who it was, somebody tell Steph Curry this is the All-Star game and not Game 7 of the Finals. And LeBron was not going to be denied winning that game.
Well, LeBron cared.
I mean, that was like LeBron being down 3-1 in the finals a couple years ago, though. He took that personal.
They did. And those players cared. Those players wanted to win.
Yeah.
LeBron wanted to win. Team Steph wanted to win. There was no love lost when you're talking about those two teams playing against each other in the All-Star game. And even Joel Embiid at the end, he was barking at officials. And then, of course, the out-of-bounds play where it went off of, I can't remember was it Joel Embiid's leg and LeBron and Durant are at the scorers table screaming.
Yeah.
That felt more of like a regular season game, more or less an exhibition game.
I liked it. I like this whole Steph versus LeBron rivalry. I'm hoping to see him in the finals again, to tell you the truth, at least one more year, because I like the fact that LeBron,
he's got a different team.
Has a rival that isn't Paul Pierce.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that kind of helps.
And the new team, as we alluded to a little bit earlier, the Cavs, I don't think they can beat Golden State.
No.
But then there's still that thing where, I mean, LeBron's the best player in the world still, and if he's the best player in the series, there's still a chance.
Is who has a realistic shot, because I saw something funny. I don't want to get off the topic of the All-Star game, but did you see the comment that Anthony Davis made, was it yesterday, that if DeMarcus Cousins had stayed healthy, he thinks that they would have been the favorites to come out of the West.
We'll have to get into that for the Pelicans.
That, because that made me laugh. But going back to the game, yeah, I enjoyed it more than I have probably in the last decade. Like you said, you know, East versus West was fun to see who the better conference was, but we always knew, you know, we knew who the better conference was, but the East usually had the best player in LeBron. But now you made it personal, and that's what I like, you know, because LeBron's picking that team.
Exactly.
I say in quotations, maybe next year he'll get to actually pick the team. But I like the fact that they made it personal between him and Steph, because I haven't seen an All-Star game get that heated in forever.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've seen the All-Star game, or that I can at least remember get that heated. I mean, the last best All-Star game I watched was 03 when Jordan hit the shot over Sean Marion, the one where Mariah Carey sang the halftime show with the Wizards Michael Jordan jersey, which I absolutely loved, by the way, on like the pregame festivities and the halftime show this year for the All-Star game, which just got awful, which I don't even want to get into because this is a basketball discussion. I want to stick on that. But yeah, the All-Star game was so much better. Mm-hmm. I love All-Star weekend. We can talk a little bit about the dunk contest and three-point contest if you want to get to it.
You know what I don't like about the three-point contest?
What's that?
The rack of money balls at the end.
Yeah, they put that in, what, last year or
last
2 years
year.
Ago?
So,
yeah, it's,
so
yeah
I just
I'm
don't
not a
get...
huge fan of it. It's kind of cool that the player gets to pick where it goes.
Right.
I mean, at least they get an option to pick, but it's like, yeah, Devin Booker, career high 28 points. Well, yeah, because they didn't have that money ball.
That's exactly where I was going with that. You can't give them the record with 28 because they're, you know, I mean
what
Steve
was more
Kerr
impressive?
Didn't have,
exactly.
You know,
yeah. Craig Hodges, Larry
Craig
Bird.
Craig Hodges didn't have the money ball rack.
No.
Exactly. So, yeah, I feel like that's the only the only complaint I really have about the three-point contest is the rack of money balls. And then the dunk contest. My
dunk contest
problem,
was cool.
They're almost just running out of ideas.
I don't get Mark Wahlberg.
I don't get
Chris Rock.
Celebrity judges.
I don't get DJ Khaled. I don't get that. Like, why do you need
DJ
celebrity?
Khaled's the only guy that, like, had a clue, because he would look over and be like, that's a 10?
Yeah.
Well, now I got to give a 10. But, yeah, having Wahlberg, like, that, and that's the problem, is
and
get
don't get
rid
me
of
wrong,
the celebrity judges.
I love Mark Wahlberg. I love Chris Rock.
Right.
I love DJ Khaled. I like Kevin Hart.
Oh, no, no more
no,
Kevin
no, no,
Hart.
No. But those guys don't belong there.
Yeah, no, they
don't. Don't belong there.
They don't. They don't. I mean, the best thing Kevin Hart did this year was when he got hammered and tried to go up on stage with the Eagles. I've had enough of Kevin Hart movies. I've had enough of Kevin Hart stand-up.
Yeah, just too much.
I'm going to get off the topic right now, but I've had way too much of Kevin Hart. But yeah, just get rid of the celebrity judges. You know, get guys that played the game. Get Chris Webber to judge the damn contest, because everything's not a 9 or a 10.
Exactly.
And I hate when guys get 4 chances at it and they still get a 9 or a 10. I mean, yeah it's a complicated dunk, but
it
you don't
is.
Get 9 shots at it.
No, absolutely not. But like, I enjoy the dunk contest still. A lot of people say it's stale. Yeah, it may be stale, but you still see new things every once in a while. The dunk by Larry Nance was terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when they went back on the slow-mo, the one where he hit it off the backboard and grabbed it back to himself.
That was
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And then the 3-point shootout, I always have fun watching that because it's great shooters. Of course, all the shooters looked hungover from the night before because they were hitting so many bricks.
Right.
You get funny quotes too. Reggie Miller did a great job. The quote of the night was, I tweeted this out, and I saw you literally the same time tweet the same thing
Lowry?
I said.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry doesn't even think Kyle Lowry is going to win. And then the savagery on Twitter, Kyle Lowry going back to the 2017 playoffs with a three-point performance. And it was just, yeah, I like stuff like that. And then the skills competition I really like. Lauri Markkanen, I like that they implemented the big man versus the small guys.
I like that, too.
I really like
that. I
think that's cool. I picked Lou Williams to win. He lost in the first round.
He was everybody's pick.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he would showcase his skills, but he did not.
I'm a big Lou Williams fan ever since he had two girlfriends that got along at the same time.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And he's a terrific player. He's averaging 23 points a game and like 9 assists
this year.
He's
making, $8 million a year?
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, and he just got locked up. So good move by the Clippers there. But yeah, I like the skills competition. I do. I mean, it's fun. I like the three-point contest. And then the dunk contest, I enjoy it. You know, it's hard to be original now because everybody's already
you've seen
done
every
it.
Dunk.
I like going back and I like the retro dunks. Like if somebody's gonna, you know, put on the Vince Carter jersey and do the 360, that's
now,
cool.
I do like the retro dunks, but I hate with the judges, you don't just because a guy's wearing a different jersey does not make the dunk a 50.
Exactly.
I feel like they do that way too often. But like the Larry Nance thing was really cool where he put his dad's jersey on. Like that's a cool,
really cool
moment.
Yeah.
I like those moments.
I did like that. I want to see a guy take off from the free throw line, but maybe like go from the 3-point line because
remember that one time
Jordan
Josh Smith put a piece of tape like in between the top of the key and the free throw line, he took off like inside the free throw line. It's like, you're just teasing
us. Exactly, you're just teasing us. And I remember when Brent Berry, who I think is probably the last white guy to win the dunk contest, right?
I think he's the only white guy to win the dunk contest.
He took off from the free throw line. That was pretty cool to see because, you know, white men maybe can jump.
White man can't jump.
Well, at least Brent Berry can.
At least in the movie. Well, he did. Woody Harrelson did get a dunk in at the end, though.
He did. He did at the end of the movie.
On the oop, though. Right.
But yeah, so the All-Star game, All-Star weekend and whole was fun, you know. I mean, halftime gets a little bit more ridiculous. I thought it was funny, like, when they had the concert and you have all these acts and then you have, like, an NBA player come up and it's, like, an infomercial. He's just, like, reading from a piece of paper. It's cool that they do all that for charity and how much money they're raising. But it just gets, like, kind of funny when you have, like, a hungover, like, Andre Drummond reading from, like, a piece of paper to try to get us.
Hey, there was a lot of cool moments. You know, Anthony Davis coming out of the game wearing DeMarcus Cousins' jersey I thought was cool. The introduction was stupid. Like, I don't want to get into all that. But the game itself, I thought it was a successful All-Star game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we got to see another great performance from LeBron. I mean,
best player in the world.
Best player in the world.
Best player in the world.
It was amazing that he just literally put that whole team on his back.
And Pretty much.
I like that the teams were evenly matched up.
And you know, it's funny, too. At first, I don't think they were even close. I thought Team LeBron was going to wipe the floor and then Boogie goes down.
Yeah.
Then John Wall goes down.
Yeah.
You know, and now you have Goran Dragic, who I like.
Yeah.
I like. He's a good player, but he's not John Wall. But it was a great game. It was evenly matched. Both teams played well. Giannis had a good showing. He played 27 minutes. I think he had 16 points.
For a minute there, like he was.
He looked kind of out of place a little bit for a moment, but. I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he was going to gun for the MVP there for a short period of time. He started taking over the game a little bit. Then, he kind of just fit back into his role. There's so many big personalities there. Yeah. If you're 23 years old, you kind of
Exactly. And Giannis on the Bucks compared to Giannis on the All-Star team is a lot different. You know, you don't have players like a Steph Curry or James Harden or LeBron James on the Bucks. You know, you got Chris Middleton, nice player. Jabari, nice player, but they're not those guys.
Talking about the All-Star game, what was your biggest surprise, or if there was any for you, of the first half of the NBA season? Did anything kind of surprise you? Any team or any player?
You know, Houston is the top seed in the West. Surprises me, they're the top seed maybe.
Yeah.
Didn't surprise. I thought that James Harden, Chris Paul duo, I wasn't sure it was going to work this well.
Right.
But I thought it was going to work decently. I mean, they've only lost one game together.
And that's the thing, and that just that team is all the reports came out, and they're just obsessed with beating the Warriors. And that's
exactly
what you like to hear. So, I mean, they spent the whole offseason just watching film and breaking down ways to compete with Golden State. So that's been a big surprise.
Yeah, the Raptors, number one seed. They do this every year.
That's the thing. They do this
every year. I'm not surprised by them.
DeRozan's been great, but I don't trust Kyle Lowry in the playoffs.
I don't know if there were too many surprises. I think the biggest thing was
Jason Kidd getting fired?
No, that wasn't. I mean, that was surprising, but I saw it coming. I mean, I thought it was going to happen at the end of the season.
Same here.
I thought maybe the biggest surprise was the Bledsoe trade for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest with you, because you look at the Cavs with these older guys. I mean, did you expect much from Derrick Rose on the Cavs?
No,
or, you know, Isaiah Thomas, of course, not coming back. He was a system guy in Boston. I mean, yeah, I don't think there was very many surprises in that first half. Houston, obviously, the nice story. 44-13 right now, number one seed in the West. But that was a good team last year, and they added an all-star point guard. So
biggest surprise to me was just how well Boston played after Gordon Hayward went down, because that's opening night. He didn't even score a point for the Celtics. He goes up for a dunk, and just how gruesome that injury was. And you need all those young guys. I mean, you got a bunch of great young players in Boston, but just the way that they all kind of stuck together and got through that. And I mean, they did hit that mid first half of the season slump a little bit there, but just how well they played. I mean, with Kyrie Irving, you know, on a new team, a bunch of young guys. I mean, you got Horford, but a bunch of really young players. I was like, how are these guys going to fit together? Like, how is Marcus Smart going to play with Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, Brad Stevens makes it work.
And he makes it work. So they've been a pretty good surprise, I think, in the East. You mentioned the Raptors, but I just don't trust them in the playoffs.
You want to talk about individual surprises? Donovan Mitchell for Utah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so high on that kid, they trade Rodney Hood away.
Exactly. And I was actually really surprised that they did trade Rodney Hood. Yeah. And that was a great get for the Cavs.
You know, of course, Hood's going to demand a lot of money.
Yeah.
But he's a restricted free agent after the season, so you'd think the Jazz would look at that guy as a guy they would possibly build around. But now he's going to Cleveland, and he'll probably be the guy in that core
right
after LeBron leaves, which I believe will happen. But
I guess we don't know yet. One more surprise is just the Spurs are kind of a mess, and that's an organization you've never said that about.
I mean, not
since Tim Duncan was drafted. Not before the year before that when they did the ultimate tank.
You say
David Robinson went
you
down.
You say they're a mess. They're the third seed
they're
in the West.
They're still the third seed, but just like everything that's coming out of the camp, like with Kawhi. And like he's kind of going to battle with the front office. There was reports coming out that LaMarcus Aldridge wanted to leave. Like stuff going on in the organization is what surprises me. Like, is Kawhi going to come back and be Kawhi? I don't know what's going on with that, because there's been the reports that he's not handling his recovery and his rehab the way that they kind of want. It feels almost like Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls years back, like when he was like ready to return from the ACL, but it was all in his head, and they were saying this timetable, and his camp was saying, no, he's not near ready. I feel like that's what's going on with Kawhi, and it's kind of surprising, because him and Popovich seem to get along really well. Popovich, I don't think, has ever had a player that he had any issues with. I mean, he's
exactly.
Kind of...
And you look at the player like Kawhi, I mean, you go back to the NBA Finals when they faced off against Cleveland, and people were saying Kawhi is the next guy to overtake LeBron.
Right.
And which is asinine. It's crazy because, you know, nobody's ready to take over LeBron right now. But Kawhi Leonard, of course, for the Spurs, they're not the same team as they used to be with the Duncan teams, the Ginobili teams, the Park, you know, those core.
They're old.
Core.
I mean,
they're
you
old.
Know...
And, you know, you got Kawhi, you got LaMarcus Aldridge, but who else do you got?
And then, the young pieces. I mean, Patty Mills is a serviceable player. You know, Kawhi's great. LaMarcus Aldridge is good. But you're just kind of plugging in younger guys. I mean, I'll tell you one thing that they do a great job of is scouting around the world, because every year they'll get a guy from, like, Argentina, a guy from Europe. And
who's that guy? And they come out and they play well.
And they play well for Popovich. But, it's just been kind of surprised that, like, Kawhi's, like, not back. Or, he came back and then he was out again. So I guess that's just the biggest surprise. But realistically, who do you think has a chance, I should say, to come out to give the Warriors a run? Just Houston?
And when you say realistically, who do you think you have a chance? This is not me picking this team,
right?
But I would say Houston. I think that's the only team in the West. You know, when I first saw the trade, Paul George and Melo to OKC, I thought, okay, maybe, because Steven Adams is a baller. Yeah. Russell Westbrook, we know what he can do. But they still can't figure things out.
Exactly.
And I just don't see that team doing much in the playoffs, maybe getting by the first round. I mean, right now they'd be matched up with Minnesota, who I think that the Thunder can get by Minnesota. They do have more star power than Minnesota, but Timberwolves are probably deeper, more balanced starting lineup. But Houston, because of the way they score the ball, because of the way they shoot the ball, and because of the fact that James Harden has the ability to be the best player on the court, even when you're talking about against Kevin Durant and Steph Curry.
And Minnesota kind of reminds me of like the Bucks of the Western Conference. And I laugh when people are like, oh, you know, I'm so tired of hearing about how this is a young team. But the problem with that is that young teams don't just go to the finals. Like, okay, see that one year, you know, that we brought it up? That doesn't happen very often. Because
you say the Cavs back in was that, 04?
Yeah, when they, and, you know, LeBron was taking teams to the finals, but usually it takes young guys. Look at Michael Jordan. He had to get beat up by the Detroit Pistons every single year, and every year he'd come back from the offseason. He'd be bigger and he'd be stronger, but you have to take your bumps in the playoffs because it's not like the Bucks are gonna beat a LeBron James Cavs team this year. And, you know, you could get tired of hearing this is a young team. And, yeah, they should probably be a little bit better. They should be near, like, 55, 57 wins.
As far
as
playoff experience, they don't have a lot.
And that's the thing. Yeah, you have to take your bumps and your bruises in the playoffs. But, like, so going back to that, I don't know who could compete with the Warriors just because they have the playoff experience and they had the best players in the league. But Houston's kind of scary because James Harden does have some playoff experience. He's played in the finals. Chris Paul's had some playoff experience and some really terrible endings.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that that team's made up, I think that they could give the Warriors a shot, but I still think they lose in six or seven games because you just can't stop Kevin Durant.
He's too good.
He's the best offensive player on the planet. LeBron James is the best player. I think Kevin Durant's the best scorer.
Yes, and I always say the one thing that Durant has over LeBron is his shooting ability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's the thing.
Durant, you talk about how great of a shooter Curry is, who in my eyes is the greatest shooter of all time. Durant's not far behind.
And that's what sucks being in the Western Conference, because even if you have a stretch of games, two or three in the playoffs, where Durant is off on his shot. And
you got Curry and Thompson.
Exactly.
And
there's just so
those
many
guys can combine for 70.
But this
Thompson scored 37 points in one quarter two years ago.
And it's funny that we're talking about teams in the West with a shot at beating the Warriors, because this came out today. I was kind of talking to you. So Anthony Davis preparing for the second half of the season. The Pelicans holding on to the eighth seed in the Western Conference. He comes out and he says that they could have been a finals team if DeMarcus Cousins doesn't rupture his Achilles.
No.
He says, we could have went through the playoffs. No one could really stop us as bigs. We go to the finals if we went. He said Rondo reminds him, Rajon Rondo tells him every day, you guys are the best bigs. I know what it takes to win championships.
No.
I just thought that was funny.
No. Sorry. Love Anthony Davis, love DeMarcus Cousins.
Never won a playoff series, and he's talking. And the funny thing is, you would think, you know, in the playoffs, who the hell can stop either guy, you know, especially together? But it's
who
just,
can stop Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson?
And that's
the thing. That's another thing, too. In the Pelicans, I mean, who's their point guard? Drew Holiday? They still got Drew Holiday?
Drew Holiday. Team, yeah.
Nice player. Yeah, former All-Star, I believe. He was an All-Star in the Eastern Conference with Philly.
He had some family problems, took like a season off, and now he's back. Yeah, but I mean,
That roster is not equipped to take on the T-Wolves, more or less the Golden State Warriors.
Got Mirotić now.
Yeah, Nico. I do like Nico.
That was a big surprise for me, actually, was the Bulls.
How about the Bulls
right trying to tank, and then they couldn't lose a game, so they had to just start like cutting guys. Literally, it was like Survivor.
A quick point here: Ryan and I both grew up in Chicago. We grew up Bulls fans. We of course are Bucks fans as well. Not really much of a rivalry between those two. Of course, they met in the playoffs a few years back, but you know, whatever. It's we can like both teams, but that Bulls run as Gar Forman is the general manager and John Paxson is the vice president of basketball operations has just been disgusting. And the fact that they trade away their all-star player Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves and say they're going to tank, we're going to tank for top picks, and they win. They just can't do anything right. Anything they want to do, they can't do.
Exactly.
And it's just laughable.
And they look good, and Mirotić looked great. So then they had to send him home and say, oh, you got a stomachache today. We got to get rid of you because
we can't be winning games.
It's ridiculous, though.
And then they started Cristiano Felicio and David Nwaba the other night.
You really have to go.
They're going to start them.
You're going to have to throw the D-League team out there to
G-League ensure. G-League now.
The G-League team.
The Gatorade League.
Yeah, to ensure that you're going to get a top five pick. And that was, I found that to be a little bit funny, is the Bulls are finally like, okay, we're all in for the tank, and then they can't lose a game. Like, there was a two-week stretch where they were just on fire. Mirotić was averaging like 24 points a game.
It was
that we
incredible.
Hadn't seen, you know, when he was
since
brought over to
fourth
Chicago.
Fourth quarter of his rookie season.
With Gasol, and they were supposed to be a 50-win team that could compete in the Eastern Conference when Rose was finally healthy. They couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden you're trying to tank and you're winning games. And that's Chicago's front office right there in a nutshell, how big of a mess that's become.
Well, we're at the preferable half point, of course, you know, not as many games left as there were before the All-Star break, but you call the All-Star break the half point. It's the longest break of the NBA season. Let's take a look really quick at some predictions to finish up the podcast. Let's talk about MVP. Who's your MVP right now, halfway through the season, that you believe is going to take home the award at the end of the year?
James Harden.
I agree. James Harden's a guy. I mean, as long as he continues his run and he has the Rockets as the one or the two seed, I think.
Yeah.
I think he takes home MVP, even though I think the most valuable player every year is LeBron.
LeBron, right.
But they like to dish it out to different players. Westbrook won last year. You know, Curry's won it. Durant's won it.
Karl Malone over Michael Jordan.
David Robinson over Pippen the one year. I mean, we're partial to Pippen, of course, 94, when David Robinson scored 73 points in the last game of the year to give him the scoring title. And then he won the MVP six-man award.
Six-man? You got to go Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
He's
how could you not?
23 points off the bench.
He is the definition of six-man. If you look at six-man of the year in the dictionary, it's Lou Williams. Can we go to, let's see here, defensive player of the year?
Defensive player of the year. Man, that's tough. Who would you go with?
God, that is tough. I mean, I would always say Kawhi, but of course he's not played.
Exactly.
Defensive player of the year. Oh, man, that is tough.
I like Klay
Thompson. Maybe Al Horford.
Yeah, Al Horford.
Al Horford's having a nice year. That is tough, though. Defensive player of the year. You can always look at Draymond Green with Golden State. You can always look at LeBron as well. I like Al Horford in Boston. He has them playing pretty good defense. I like Steven Adams as well.
Steven Adams,
but,
yeah.
I'll say Horford.
Horford?
Yeah.
I'll go with Horford. Because either that or I like perimeter defenders. I like Klay Thompson. Paul George is a great defender nobody ever really talks about. That's because he gives you 20-plus per night. But
pretty much. Yeah, I like Horford.
Yeah.
I'll go with him?
Yeah, we'll go with Horford on the defensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year, MVP, we said Harden. Defensive player, Horford. Sixth man, Lou Williams. How about the most improved player?
Most improved player is, man, that's kind of tough.
Well, I'll tell you what, Giannis won it last year. He's definitely in the running for this year.
I was going to say, you could go Giannis
You can go Giannis two straight years.
Yeah, or, man, I'm trying to think really about most improved, you know, because there's just, that's tough. You may have stumped me on that one.
I may have stumped myself. Nikola Jokic, go with him.
Yeah, Jokic. I go with half of that Nuggets roster. I really like Jamal Murray. I mean, not really most improved because he's still just figuring out the game and is a young player, but I mean, he's going to be probably a top 10 player here soon. We'll see if he stays in that market.
I can't believe I missed this guy's name, Victor Oladipo.
Depot. That's actually, yeah, I mean, you got to go with Depot.
How can you not? First time All-Star, he lost himself over in OKC. Of course, never really made it with Orlando. Now he's averaging, what, 22
points
per game?
He's an All-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think Oladipo's the guy.
Yeah, obviously. And that was crazy, just kind of how that trade worked out, because I thought Indiana just got absolutely screwed, but you don't want to lose Paul George for nothing. And I'm like, Depot, man, he hasn't really done much.
And Sabonis is playing well over there.
Yeah, and they're a fun team to watch. I have the league pass, so I watch a lot of Pacers games, and I thought maybe I'd watch like two or three this whole year. They've always just been a team that bores me, the Indiana Pacers, since the 90s. And, man, they're exciting to watch. And, yeah, Sabonis is a great player, which is surprising. I didn't really see that from him at Gonzaga. He looks a little bit like Arbenas, his dad.
Absolutely. Can we get a coach of the year?
Coach of the year? Ah, that's tough.
Can you go Eric Spoelstra?
It seems like that team probably go Spoelstra every year. And I laugh when people talk about how he's an overrated coach because he got blessed with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James for a couple years.
At the time, you thought so. But
he's a guy that worked himself up from literally, like, he was like on the scouting team watching video, and then all of a sudden he's a head coach. So he actually had to bust his ass to get where he is. So maybe him, because, you know, beginning of the year, I thought maybe what? Miami wins like 33, 35 games. So he's always in the running.
You go with Dwayne Casey.
How about Brad Stevens?
We go to Brad Stevens. You go to Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, Tibbs.
He's got Tebow's playing well. Can go D'Antoni as well, again.
I feel like you may have to at this point. I feel like
if they finish with the number one seed, you may have to. But then you can also say, well, they got Chris Paul. They added him to the mix.
And yeah.
So there's a few candidates. GM of the year, can we say our guy?
Go with it.
Can we do it?
Yeah.
Can we do it?
Do it.
John Hammond. No, I'm just kidding. He's in Orlando now. We can go with him.
Gar Forman?
Gar
John
Forman?
Paxson?
Yeah, let's go with Gar Forman.
So, but who do you think comes out of the East? Do you think LeBron?
I think the Cavs.
You're still picking Cavs?
I'm still picking the Cavs.
If there is a team to...
By the way, for people, we're going John Horst, we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know.
John Hammond. The other John, of course.
So who do you think has a realistic shot of competing with the Cavs? Just Boston?
I think Boston, yeah. Like I said, Toronto, they do this every year, it seems like, where... They always have a good regular season, and then they go out and bow in the first round of Brooklyn or something, you know, like they did a few years ago. But yeah, I'm never sold on Toronto. Boston I like because of Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. I like their team. Jason Tatum stepping up, but they're just so young. I actually, and you know, we talked about this on that. Chuck Winkler brought it up. Nick Wright, he gave his picks for who is the best opportunity to beat Cleveland. Yeah. He said Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the second best player in the Eastern Conference?
I think Milwaukee's 1 year away, only for the fact that I think Jabari just needs to get his legs back under him and his conditioning.
I don't think there's any way the Bucks take down Cleveland. But when you're talking about which team in the East has the best opportunity,
yeah,
Giannis is the only gut name that comes up where I think he can be better than LeBron.
Exactly.
On any given night.
Right.
LeBron's the best player in the world. LeBron's better than Giannis, but in a series, Giannis has the ability, like Kevin Durant did last year in the finals, where he can be better than LeBron in that said series.
I agree with that because in the playoffs, teams actually start concentrating on playing defense. And with that, you know, you look at the Raptors, and DeRozan's a good player, and he could create his own shot a little bit. But Kyle Lowry really can't create his own shot in the playoffs when you put a bigger defender on him. Who are you going to match up with Giannis in the playoffs? Like, who's going to guard him? You know, obviously when you're playing the Cavs, LeBron.
But who else are you going to put on him? I mean,
Paul George is in the West now. Ronnie Hood?
He's not going to guard him.
So, I mean, yeah, the Bucks. I think that the goal this year should be win a playoff series.
Yeah, that's the number one goal.
And then next year,
we're talking championships, we're talking finals, and they haven't won a playoff series yet with this core. So that's the number one thing. We'll see what they can do. Possibly a four seed, they can win that first round against, you know, Washington or a team like that. But
if Jabari's able to play 30-plus minutes and gets his conditioning down, then they're extremely scared.
When Jabari was playing, he was averaging 20 points a game. Yeah. He was an all-star, and then he goes down with the injury, of course. If he's healthy, That's the second best player in the Bucks,
right?
And it's not even close.
Bledsoe,
say what you want about Chris Middleton.
Shot.
Say what you want about Eric Bledsoe. Jabari's number two on the Bucks when he's healthy.
Everybody's always so down on Chris Middleton, and
I like Middleton,
and I get it. You know that he's going to have an off night, but man, he defends.
He does defend, and he's a good shooter too.
And that's what I like. I like guys that play both ways. And some nights you can't do both. Like, you know, that's why you'll see Klay Thompson score 10 points. That's why Paul George will have an off night in OKC every once in a while, because you use so much energy on the defensive end.
Well, episode one in the books. That's Ryan Horvath. I'm Cody Grant. We still don't have a name for this, so, you know, if you'd like to give us suggestions, just tweet us. I'm at Cody Grant 2015. Ryan's
at Ryan Horvath. Horvat is how you spell my last name. No, nobody gets my last name.
Horvat.
You can call Horvath. Me whatever you want. Though.
Okay, that is Ryan Horvath. I am Cody Grant. This is episode one of our unnamed NBA podcast. See you next time.